Hour number two of Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game, 106.3. And we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Nick Frazier here with you. And we are joined by Jonathan Hutton, as we are every Wednesday on the show. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. So, Hut, we've got a topic. I don't know if you caught our last segment here. We were setting the table for you.
Tell me.
So, Bill Barnwell, who is, he's got, just to give you his background for people that don't know, he's got a little bit of an analytic background. He looks at the numbers and he does analysis. I think he's done well. There's a bunch of people that certainly can crunch the numbers, but putting it in terms of, you know, simplifying it for the average fan who doesn't want to just get into a big math class for these, he does a good job with it. And he basically said if you had average quarterback and average offensive line play for every team, how would you rank the skill position guys, the guys that would fill out a fantasy team, your wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends? How would you rank all 32? Where do you think he has the Titans going into this season?
So it's running back, wide receiver. It's just the skill positions. Mm-hmm. I would say
running back, wide receiver, and tight end.
I think he has the Titans middle of the pack.
Okay. Take a guess. 1 through 32.
I'm going to say 16.
16, you're close. 19 is what he had. And I think it's a great question for this Titans team, because we know there are big questions with their offensive line and their quarterback. But right. What they've tried to do is surround especially the quarterback with – experienced players that can help support and help this guy grow. So the fact that they're only 19th, is that a good sign or a bad sign based on the last couple of years?
Ooh, I mean, did he do this last year?
Yes, he did, and he had the Titans at 19 going into last year.
Really?
29th in 2023, and that was when everything collapsed, right? Mm-hmm. That's when they went from 7-3 to 7-10.
It surprises me, guys, about last year compared to this year. Like, they're identical, right?
Yes. 2022 last year.
They're vastly improved at the skill position this year. I mean, just wide receiver alone.
That has to be based on the investment they've made, right? Mm-hmm. They're hoping it's got to be a jump.
But they lose out on Henry. I mean, he's certainly factoring into that. Tight end has not been a strong point of this roster the last few years now. No, they're improved. The difference is the quarterback, right? And it still goes back to Levis. He's got all the resources, including the coach and the pass-friendly offense. So we'll find out quite a bit and early on. I mean, he's learning a new offense for like the seventh time in his career, I believe. It feels like that anyway with everything you had at Kentucky plus high school plus now. But Willie, I mean, he's set up almost perfectly for a guy who's coming in with a new coach and a chance to prove himself in year number two as the guy.
They've made a great effort.
He's in a really good spot compared to other quarterbacks in his same draft class.
Yes. I don't think they're throwing him to the wolves with a bunch of no names. They have clearly tried to spend money to give him a support system. So this article, I think, is a really good measure, though, because he's saying, okay, let's make everything equal. And let's compare this group to all the other teams. And he equated it to, and you'll probably get a kick out of this, Hutton, that it's a fantasy team almost. You see the names of Hopkins, Ridley, Boyd, and you're like, yeah, I used to have that guy in my fantasy league a couple years ago, right? Tony Pollard, right? But it's like the guy who shows up in your league and he hasn't played fantasy football in the last couple years, and he only remembers the names. And he hasn't really done a lot of research. He said this would be the type of team he would draft. But the question is, at age 30 for Boyd, Ridley's about to turn 30. Hopkins is now 32. Pollard has played a lot of seasons. He's had some injuries. Are you still getting what you hope you're getting from names like that? That's going to be a major theme.
Well, and they're banking on the fact that they're going to get more of the names in the passing game. You know, like they don't have to rely on the backfield, and it's on the arm of Levis. Look, the answer to me is yes. We had the conversation last week about you take the over-under on passing yards, touchdowns, and interceptions. I took the over on all three. And if you look at it from that perspective, Will Levis would be Trevor Lawrence of last year.
Yeah, that's a 19.5 touchdowns, I think, was the over-under. 12.5 interceptions. Right. Yeah, 3,400 yards.
Okay, let's compare this to the division. Is Houston top five for him?
Houston, Houston has gone from, that's a really interesting one, 32nd the last 2 years to fourth going into this year.
And that's a major jump. Is Miami number one?
Miami is number four.
Okay.
That was one of D-Mace's guesses when I asked him to guess where he thinks they are. Miami's number four. So any other guess on who number one might be? Texans are four. Miami is number three.
Okay. Kansas City is going to be in the top 10, but I don't think he's got them that high.
Actually, this is an interesting, again, quarterback is even across the board. So you take away Mahomes and Howie Elvis, they have Kansas City only 14th because after Kelsey, it's kind of a group of pedestrians. So I see the argument there. Mm-hmm. It is subjective, right? We can all have our own thing. But he's got the 49ers number one. Cincinnati, it was top five the last couple of years, but has now slipped to 11th in his.
That's way too low for them.
Okay. At number one to number two to number 11.
Where are the Jets?
The Jets, middle of the pack.
And Vikings?
They're 12. Jets are 12.
Jets 12.
Vikings, I don't think, are in the top 10.
He actually mentions the Vikings as an example of a team.
They're fifth.
Just because Justin Jefferson elevates that group of five. You know, he sort of says, think about it as a group of five of the best playmakers. Mm-hmm. Who are your best five playmakers? Take away the quarterback, right? And so Justin Jefferson obviously is better than most teams number one, and then after that, it's a little bit more of a, well, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Right?
You got Jordan
Addison. So the big surprise, it will be Chicago.
Chicago is number six. From 31st 2 years ago to 17, he's now got them number six.
So, Mace, who did you guess is number one overall? I went with Miami there.
I said, at first,
you said Philadelphia, which is number two.
Miami,
and Miami's number three.
And then I kind of went to some more, and then I thought, like, man, the one team I did forget was San Fran.
And San Francisco's number one.
San Fran, okay.
Which also illustrates when you have Brock Purdy making no money.
And it's an even deal.
You have the resources. These are five pretty high-paid guys that they've got on here. Debo Samuel, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk. Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey is noteworthy in that he is the only running back that is scheduled to make over $15 million per year. And he illustrates the trend in football is that there are now 20 wide receivers that make $20 million or more per year. So that is so different than, say, 20 years ago, right? But it's the trend that is going forward is you're paying the big wide receivers to get it done.
And everyone's going to be the new a big payday, like CeeDee Lamb is going to hold out and he'll get paid eventually. Mm-hmm. Prescott's got to do his thing first, right?
Ayuk is waiting to see what's happening with him.
From a fantasy perspective, at least in my league, Tyreek Hill crushes it, and then Tua just floats layups up there to practically anybody in that offense. They put up numbers. I would have gone Miami personally, but I don't know the criteria for how he's really analytically diving into it from that perspective, Willie. The Titans being where they are, it's good. I just don't understand why they're the same spot as they were a year ago because they're vastly improved offensively.
Yeah, he's looking at efficiency. That's going to be a main thing. Let's get into the running back part of it because we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Hutton. And he says Tony Pollard, the team's replacement for Derrick Henry, was markedly inefficient after returning from a fractured fibula last year. Even while playing behind an excellent offensive line in Dallas. I can't really fault Rand Carthon. This is what you have to do when you let Henry leave in free agency. And, of course, he goes into the A.J. Brown situation. Yep. Burks hasn't done well. Tennessee fans are intrigued by Tajay Spears, although I'm concerned about his ability to play as a regular back given an arthritic knee. So how do you think that part of the equation figures looking forward? Nick here, he feels like Spears is ready for a breakout. I think it would be good for a younger player like Spears to really take a bigger role. So Spears and Pollard, how do you think that equation comes together?
Willie, I look at it from the combo, and I'm adding in catches out of the backfield as an extension of the run game here.
Sure.
I like what they've done with Henry gone, because the focus is now on the quarterback, not in the backfield at running back. If you're doing that, the dual combination that we're seeing is the way to go. Instead of having the feature back, have multiple, and now you can do different route combinations. Both guys are practically the same type of player. One's younger, and you hope the younger guy breaks out, right? But I mean, Carthon's had his eye on Pollard for a while. I think this has been part of his plan. And again, I think part of what he liked about Levis was the fact that Levis was coached by a guy that was out of the tree of Shanahan and McVay from San Fran. I think all this is kind of his style and his setup. I look around the league. I don't mind what they're doing. Execution-wise, we'll see. There's a lot of what-ifs. But, I mean, if you're not going to just have a bell cow that's getting 20 carries a game and not be just run-oriented and much more balanced, if not far, to the passing game, I think they've set it up fine. And Pollard, when healthy, has been sufficient. And now they are betting on the fact that they've got the cheaper version of Pollard in the backfield with Spears, who should be improving based on what we saw last year. And we saw positive signs. I don't necessarily buy into everything he's saying. It's a big loss with Henry. That's a big part of your offense. But it's not like the Giants losing Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, it's not. Because Saquon did so much for them. He wasn't just the running back. He was a
– And how they've addressed the offseason, Mace.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're talking with Jonathan Hutton, host of Hot Mic with Hutton Withrow. Now, they did explain to – they went more into it. They just didn't give the three wide receivers' name without going into at least one of them. Obviously, they talked about the age, but then they talked about Tyler Boyd. And the concern with Barnwell was each of the last three seasons, his play has declined from a number standpoint. And that's key, because I look at last season when Chase was down, T. Higgins missed some games.
Yes.
You, Boyd, as the third guy in this trio, your game needed to elevate. We can't say, well, the quarterback, Burrow, wasn't there, because the backup quarterback came in, and Brian Callahan and
Jake Browning
and the head coach did an excellent job at putting together a game plan so they can still go out there and score points. Hell, they damn near made the playoffs. It came down to the last game with their backup. And you still, as a player, I still think Tyler Boyd's a good player. But we also got to look at the reality of this. The last 4 years, his number has declined with a team that loves passing the football. And even so much so, last year, he was really the only consistent guy, meaning available, and his numbers declined even more. That should be that's a red flag for me. Even though I still think he's a good player, we just can't think that he's going to come in here and all of a sudden, because he knows the system, that he's just going to flourish. What the NFL has told me over the last 4 years in regards to him, that he's on the decline. Still a good player, but he is definitely on the decline, as is, I believe, not Calvin Ridley, but D-Hop. D-Hop is still going to do what he needs to do, but his play is going to continue to dip.
Yep, and while on the decline, man, it's still better than what they have.
Yeah, you're right. You know, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think this is something that's going to be a big thing, is weighing that, right? They may be in decline, but they are certainly hoping that that's still an upgrade of what they've had.
Well, and Hopkins, I mean, is just the definition of being a pro. Mm-hmm. He's going to – the catch radius, all that, we've seen it, right? The key is Ridley on the ascend and proving that he's the big money guy. Right? Like he's the top dog alpha. And then I think the X factor for me with Boyd is just the fact that he knows this offense and can help literally everyone pick up on this. It's vastly different than what they were running a year ago. So I like the fact that he can help out everyone, from Levis to the receivers, to the, you know, the route combinations, the breaks, all that. Like hypothetically, he's going to be an extra coach in that way, and he's going to produce as well. Former 1,000-yard receiver. I know he's not that dude, Mace, but, I mean, he's also not Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. You know what I mean? And no knock on NWI, but at least you got someone that you can go to. And on top of that, two backs out of the backfield. The tight ends are crucial in all this too. We need to see a step up there. But if Boyd, if the group, all things healthy, I mean, let him be a number three. He can put up number three numbers. And that's perfect for what they're asking him to do, considering Hopkins is going to get plenty of looks. We saw that from week one in New Orleans. And, yeah, Ridley should be top dog demanding the football. And if that goes well, Boyd's going to be just fine.
I think what they're hoping for is that the whole is better than the parts.
Yes.
They're hoping that,
you're right.
You know, Tyler Boyd, 600-700 yards, D-Hops, 800-900 yards, and then ultimately you want Ridley to be over 1,000 yards. They're hoping that the sum of the parts makes, you know, the team better. Because I think individually, if you're asking them to be the lead dog week in and week out at their age, I'm not saying that they can't do it week in, week out, but it's going to be hard to ask one guy to be that guy every game. It's going to have to, they're going to have to spread it apart. I mean, spread it out amongst the wide receivers as well as the tight ends. That's why I think the tight ends are critical in what this team is able to do in regards to the passing game. If they can get the tight ends going, I think it opens up everything for the wide receivers.
You see some personnel packages where we might even see a tight end on the field.
We've seen three more often than we've seen none, right?
Exactly. Yeah,
the key with that, you're right. And the key with that is hopefully the tackles are serviceable where you don't need the tight end out there.
Wouldn't that be a nice thing to think about? I still am going to wait and see on that part with where they are at
tackle. I agree. And then the question is, if one of the receivers goes down, can Boyd be the number two? And can you have Burks? Can Burks be Boyd? You know what I mean? Can he be the possession receiver that's reliable?
I think it's going to
have numbers may be going down, but they had, I mean, Mace and Cincy, they're treating two receivers like number ones, even with the backup. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you can afford to do that in Cincinnati when you have when you have Chase and Higgins. You can afford if one of those go down. They both are number one receivers. But if someone goes down, if a Ridley goes down, then obviously DeAndre slides into that number one spot.
Yep.
But to me, then Traylon has to slide into that number two spot. I just don't think Tyler Boyd at this point of his career, considering what I've seen, the decline, again, still a good player, I don't think he then can move to a number two and you still have that ability to do the things you want to do when it was Calvin Ridley and D-Hop. Now it's Calvin Ridley or it's D-Hop and T. Higgins. It has to be Traylon. It has to be Traylon.
It does. And a lot of short-term contracts, too, that they've added. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting approach because if Levis is just good but not great, they're kind of stuck with what do they do a year from now with Hopkins?
This is a big – that's a big long-term question.
You know, the short-term contracts with Boyd or what they've done in the backfield with Pollard. You know, like it's a very intriguing setup considering the ages of these players – and a young quarterback that you hope to have an answer on, but if he's just okay, I don't think that's good enough. But it may be good enough to give him more time and more assets. Mm-hmm. But again, there's still another offseason away from NFL quality depth. But the starter level of this, just contractually, I'm saying, and the age is intriguing because they're wanting to win and hit a kind of a boom or bust right now. First-time play caller, first-time head coach, and, of course, Will Levis, who's – you know, jury's still out.
All right, parting shot for you, Hutt.
Yep.
You gave us a good one on the way out. We were debating The Sandlot versus Back to the Future, which was released on July 4th weekend. Which one was the better movie? So here's one for you. Who will have a head coaching job next year in the NFL? Mike Vrabel, Bill Belichick, both or neither?
Vrabel's going to have a head coaching job.
And so you don't think Belichick will?
I think Bill's headed to media and staying there.
Staying there, okay.
I think so.
Can he do that?
He's got WME repping him, I believe. he's You know, there are some other streaming services that if he's not going to just stick with the Manning and Omaha Productions, which is probably where he's going, there's a lot of different variables that will factor in a year from now contractually with those TV agreements. He's going to be a big part of it, I think.
Okay, but he could do all that and still, if he gets offered a job, if he wants to take it. I feel like he still wants to coach, don't you?
Yeah, but he wants to be the general manager too.
Well, that's part of the equation for sure. And that's where Atlanta probably balked, right? They didn't want to give him everything.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, everyone's mentioning Dallas. I'm trying to think of the owners that would just give it to him. But Jerry's going to be the GM there. Again,
but does he need to almost adjust Belichick and say, okay, they're not going to give me everything, so I got to take what I can get, and that's just I'll be the coach.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess he could have done that in Atlanta this year. Mm-hmm.
So you think Vrabel is the answer? That he'll get one before
head coach? Yes,
Belichick.
I think so too.
And with the right, I think Vrabel could easily be in Buffalo. With the right setup, we've seen what he does with a roster and a quarterback that's set up. He can win. And then we see kind of the Peter Laviolette factor, where it fizzles out and kind of wears thin.
That is interesting to see if Vrabel ends up, because he's got about six stops before he gets to Peter Laviolette level. Because
basically, you're
working on the whole Eastern Division. Yeah.
So basically, you're saying he's a one man traveling circus. He's only in town
not
for
a
while.
He's a one. The one man description's perfect because he's the alpha of alphas, and he's going to make sure you know it. You know what I mean?
Infuse life and then sort of get stuff. Yeah.
He's going to be very selective, and he's going to have with McDermott, it's interesting just some of the other coaching scenarios out there. There's a lot of coaches on the hot seat that need to win that have pretty good rosters that will be surprising firings maybe as we talk about it a year from now. But I think Vrabel lands one of those gigs, much like he did here, where the roster was set up good enough for him to come in and make a splash with a good draft, and he builds off of it with an efficient quarterback and a great run game. I think they could do that. He could jump in with one of the premier quarterbacks in Buffalo and take off. I mean, McDermott was kind of shaky this past season. That's one I'm watching for.
Jonathan Hutton from Hutton. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Jonathan, thanks a lot for your time. As always, you've given us some things to ponder, and we'll talk again next Wednesday.
Yeah, always enjoy this, guys. Have a great rest of the week, all right?
All right, sounds good. Yep. Jonathan Hutton with us. So when we come back, the Buffalo thing is interesting to me, and we're going to have this topic later in the week on the show, and that is who are the true Super Bowl contenders. So we're going to come back to this in just a moment. You're listening to Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game.